Begin the current daf Masechta Shkalim, daf Yud Gimel. Begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf. And that is, on the previous daf in Yud Beis Mabez, the Gemara quoted a 3-way machlekes regarding the halachas of Tmura on a carbon which is not really fit for the Kedushas HaGuf of that carbon. That is, let's say someone takes a nekeva, a female, and is mafreshet la'ayla for Pesach, for Ashim, which those animals, those carbonas only come from male animals, not female animals. So therefore, do we say that there is no kedusha saguf, there's no physical sanctity in this animal, and hence the halachas of Tamur do not apply, because Tamur is saying that the kedusha that's in this carbon will be transferred to that other carbon, and then they both have that kedusha. And therefore, do we say that since it doesn't have that kedusha, because you can't bring this male, you can't bring this female as this carbon, because this carbon of oila, let's say, could only be brought from a male? Or do we say that no, that on some level we do view that there is kedusha in this animal, that the sanctity is then transferred to the other carbon? So that's where the Gemara continues on that and says, Chavraya b'shem Rabbi Yechanan, that the assembly said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabbi Aiva bar Nagri Amar Kumi Rabbi Ila, he said in the name of Rabbi Ila b'shem Rabbi Yechanan, the time of the Hintanya, that the reason of that opinion which mentioned the Braisa, which is talking in reference to the opinion of Reb Shimon by Yehuda, that he said in the name of Reb Shimon, that he was coming to explain that was one of the opinions mentioned, that was the third opinion mentioned in the Braisa in the previous daf, that he said that for a carbon, for all the different categories, that one cannot bring a Temura from either one of them. So what's the reason of that opinion? Why is it that if someone takes in the cave a female animal and there's makdashit for an oila, and ashim or pesach, then neither one can then be brought at the other carbon that will not have that sanctity of the tamura? So the reason is because it says a pasuk in Vayikra, it says v'imkol behem tameya, that if any not kosher animal, ashalay yekrivu memen a carbon Hashem, which you cannot go ahead and bring a sacrifice from it for a carbon to Hashem. Now, on that, the explanation is matam lo mitameh. What is the pasuk they're talking about? It's talking about reference of what do we do now if someone has sanctified a carbon that's a behemoth tameya, which is obviously not kosher. So the different halachas is what we do with it. So the question is, what is it referring to when it talks about a behemoth tameya? Now, if it were to be like the literal translation, that's talking about an actual not kosher animal, but that can't be, because there it says later that it says v'im behema hatameya, if it is a behema tameya, then the pod be'erkecha, then you should redeem it with its value. So therefore, when they talk about over here regarding tameya, it can't be talking about an actual tameya, an actual non-kosher animal, because there's another pasuk that talks about that. So what is this pasuk in reference to? Ella, rather, this is the source for Reb Shimon ben Yehuda's version of Reb Shimon, that afilu tameya ba'isei Hashem, that even if it's not kosher in that category, which means to say, for example, the actual cases that they were arguing about in that paraisa, when you take a nekeva female and you separate it for a carbon oila or ashim or pesach, where there the pasuk says vehem and v'erach, so you have to stand it over there and then you have to assess its value, because there is no kedusha saguf. We just have to assess the monetary value. That's the only kedusha this non-kosher animal. Now it's not a regular non-kosher animal, because a different pasuk talks about non-kosher. It means to say it's somewhat of a non-kosher. What does it mean, somewhat non-kosher? Which means to say for this carbon that you want to bring it for, which is the oila and oshim or carbon pesach, that's not kosher for that. What case is that? When you're taking a female for these carbonas which have to be brought from a male, and therefore we see the source for Reb Shimon Yehuda's version of Reb Shimon, that one cannot make a temura because there is no physical sanctity. Temura only works when there's a physical sanctity to transfer to another animal. When you say this should be the exchange of that one, then they both have the kedusha. But here we obviously see that there is no kedusha, as we find that the pasuk is telling you just assess the value, it only has monetary value. Now that the Gemara says v'kasha, but we had a difficulty with this. B'dok siv v'hemed v'herich. Regarding this, the pasuk tells us that you have to stand it up and assess its value. And the challenge is because Reb Shimon holds that only by items that have somewhat of a kedushas haguf, has a physical sanctity, do we say that it requires hamada and haracha, that it should be that you should stand it and assess it. But if it would be only a monetary sanctity, like the way you're trying to interpret the pasuk, which you're trying to say that it has no kedushas haguf, that's what makes no tamura. But it doesn't sound like from the pasuk that it's talking about that it only has monetary sanctity. It sounds like it has somewhat of physical sanctity when it's talking about this quote behemoth tameya, because the halacha of hamada and haracha only applies if it has kedushas haguf. So that the Gemara says that Reb Zeira b'shem Reb Elazar lo amar kein. He did not learn from this pasuk the way the Gemara was quoting the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that this was a source from Reb Shimon Yehuda's version in Reb Shimon, that we see that there is no kedushas aguf whatsoever for any of these three categories when you separate a female for those categories. Rather, his inference is the contrary, that generally we would say that these animals would make a tamura. And that is Ella, rather, he's medayik, he infers from the end of the pasuk that says, v'im kol behemet tamea, that if any non-kosher animal, asher lo yakrivu mimenu karban Hashem, which cannot be brought from it a karban to Hashem. Now, it should have said in the pasuk, asher lo yakrivu l'Hashem. Didn't have to say the words that mimenu karban, that from it will be a karban. Should have said that this animal is something you cannot bring a karban to Hashem. What does it mean? From it, mimenu karban. Rather, that's what the pasuk is coming to teach you, that kol she'enu ruya likarev, that whatever is not fit to be brought as a karban, loy kan v'loy b'makam acher, that it's never fit, not here and nowhere else. That's why it's saying the extra words, mimena, from it. What does it mean from it? From this entire species. It can never be brought as a carbon. Then eino isa tamura. Then it cannot make a tamura. Then we're saying that it has no physical sanctity whatsoever. However, yatzis nekeva la'oila, that excludes when you separate a female for an oila, which an oila generally can only be brought from a zachar. But however, afa pisha eino ruy l'karev kam, because even though you're right in this situation, this female, because since it's an animal, cannot be brought as a carbon oila, but royally curved b'makamacha, but it is fit to be brought a female as an oilam. When do we have that? As the Gemara discussed in the previous stuff, that's by an oif, by birds, where the Gemara explained that you could bring a bird as a female for a carbon oilam, and hence, even though here in this situation it's not, but since it's royally b'makamacha, therefore we see that to the contrary to the deek that they made in the name of Yechanam, but rather these items, you actually could make a tamura out of them, because only something that's totally not valid from its species at all, then it's going to be something that has only kedushas damim, and that then you cannot make tamura. But here are these items, to the contrary, you could make a tamura out of them. Now the Gemara says that Reb Avin Rabun Boyin Kumir Reb Zeira, they asked in front of Reb Zeira, who had just said this interpretation of the pasuk, that we actually could make a tamura out of them, but Hare Hareveya, the Har Nirva, but we find by the animal which has sodomized or been sodomized, where a sodomized animal, or that has sodomized, is not fit to be brought as a carbon, it can never be brought as a carbon. Yet, however, they could have a tamura made out of them, as we learned in the Tosefta, in the first parak, in Mesechta's tamura explicitly. So how could you say what you had just said? So on that, Amar Loin, he said to them, Afani lo yamarti, I also didn't say, Ela tamea mamash. I meant literally that it's tamea. And that is because the question is as follows. They had assumed that Reb Zeira was coming to explain what the Chevraya had said. And that is that to come to explain that Temeya was like them. And the explanation is because the question that they had asked on Reb Zeira was because they had assumed that Reb Zeira was really saying, he was taking the same interpretation of the term Temeya like the Chevraya had said. And that is, although he wasn't saying like them, as he had argued on them and said that it can't be because it says vehemet veherich, however, he was still saying the same interpretation of temeya, that it didn't literally mean temeya, but it's temeya ba'ose ha-min, ose ha-shem, and that is, he wasn't saying the explanation of Reb Shim Reb Yehuda, because from the pasuk it actually would seem not like Reb Shim Reb Yehuda, that it's not true, that it's not that you cannot make temur, you could make temur as he had proven, but it sounded like, and that's what they had asked on him, that he was coming to explain the other opinion in the Braisa, that of Reb Shimon Stam. There's two versions in the Braisa of Reb Shimon. There's one of Reb Shimon Yehudin named Reb Shimon, that none of them can be brought as a Temura. They all have only Kedushas Dam. And then there was the opinion which is quoted as Stam in the name of Reb Shimon, that he held that, yes, one of them could be brought as a Temura, and that is the one of an Oila. And that's what they had assumed. That's why he said the explanation that he had explained of Reb Zeira, he was talking about the case of Oila, and that is, he said, essentially, this is what they had asked. They thought Reb Zeira was saying essentially like the previous opinions of that of the Chavraya. Truth is, all these items are not going to be able to be brought, and they're totally invalid, and therefore they're going to have a halacha that you can't make a tamura out of them. The one exception is that of oila, because the oila itself is ruya b'makam acher. On that, they asked him that, but what do you mean? You see something that is not fit even somewhere else, which is the case of Reveya and Nirva. And that he answered them. He says, look, I wasn't explaining the pasuk like the previous explanation of Rabbi Yechanan, that Temeya doesn't really mean Temeya, means Temeya ba'isa Hashem, that it means that it's not valid, in other words, in the keva, for even these, even though it's kosher, it's not a non-kosher animal, but it's not kosher for this category. It says, no, I meant literally, the pasuk is talking about a non-kosher animal. What does that mean? Although it talks about a non-kosher animal in different pasuk, But what it means to say, just like a non-kosher animal is never fit to be brought as a carbon, which that excludes a reveh and a nirva and the kavis, that those things are fit in different places, because what it means to say that their min, their species, are fit to be brought as a carbon, because although, yes, an oila is something that might be a little bit better, and that's what they had assumed in this question, that he was coming to say that Tamei Bo'isa Hashem, that he wanted to say it's not like a nekeva for the Pesach and for the Ashem, because even for an oila, you could actually bring in the nekeva. And then they asked him, but you see, Reve and Nirva can never be brought. So he says, no, I meant literally Tamei, that's never going to be valid at all. It's not kosher. But Reve and Nirva could be brought from their species. It could be an animal that was a male or female that was sodomized, whichever way it is. But that species is valid. That's what I meant to say when I was comparing for an oila. And that's why it could make a tamura. And that's why it would need a mum to be redeemed. And that is, I wasn't explaining even like Reb Shimon's opinion. I was saying like the opinion that they could all be brought as a tamura, and that is they require a mum to be redeemed, because it is something that its species is a kosher animal. It has to be something that's totally invalid, and therefore, you're right, Reve and Nirva, I would agree that, as it says explicitly in Tosefta, that one could make a tamura out of that. But the Gemara concludes and says, v'kasha, but it is difficult, because bedog siv vehemet v'herich, regarding this, do we say vehemet v'herich? In other words, this is the debate about how do we interpret in the pasuk when it talks about tameya. And this is what they had asked Reb Ze'era, is he saying like those of the Chavraya? That they were saying, no, Tameya doesn't really mean Tameya, because another pasuk that talks about Tameya, of a non-kosher animal. It meant it's invalid for this category. Well, what would that mean? An Akeva, which is invalid for the Eila and for the Yashem and for the Karban Pesach, that we consider like a Tameya, and therefore we see that it has only Kedushas Damim. And if it has only Kedushas Damim, therefore it's not something you can make Tamura out of. And that Reb Zira said, wait a second, but that's, you can't say Hamad of Harach, and therefore he said a different interpretation, and he said that of Oila, and Oila is something that we find that it is valid in a different arena, and therefore he says that will be considered something that will have Kedushas Haguf, and you can make it tomorrow out of him. So they had asked, and they still thought he was saying just like them, just Oila is a little bit different, because it actually could bring it, Lo Yisa Hashem, at least when it's an Oif, now it's an animal. And then he answered, no, I was saying that it has to be totally Tameya. And therefore, even Reve and Nirva, because even though it cannot be brought somewhere else, and it shouldn't have any Kedusha Aguf, that would still be considered, you can make a Tumura out of, because the only exception that we say has no Kedusha Aguf whatsoever, only Kedusha Stamim, is something that's totally Tamei. By that, the Gemara concludes, similar to the question of Zir himself had on them, is that, but the Pasuk says regarding these animals that you're calling Tameyim, and you're saying that literally means totally invalid, that you do Hamad of Aracha. But how could we be talking about a totally invalid non-kosher animal? But that is learned from a different pasuk, which we said before, v'hem behemet tameya upad be'erkecha. And this, when it says behemet v'herich, this is as it's mentioned many times in Bryce and Tosefta's throughout entire Shas, that it's a reference to a balmum that is being redeemed. As the Gemara says, Masechtas Tamura, Masechtas Becharis, and the Zifra, and it says that, as they explained, it says v'im kol behema. Now, is it toma bali mumim? That means a kosher animal, but just to develop a blemish that's being redeemed. Is that what the pasuk is talking about? And that's what you do hamad of aracha, or is it talking about an actual behema tameya, non kosher animal? So there, it said, they explained over there that was already explained when it says v'im behema tameya upad be'erkecha. So what's it toma? It's toma bali mumim. And this is where we learn that you need to have Hamad Baruch, you have to set the animal there and assess it for all animals that are Balim Mumin, and you come in to redeem it. And therefore the Gemara concludes with a question of some sort, that obviously you can't say that we're talking about a literally Bema Tamei like Reb Zeir was concluding, because that we learn out from somewhere else, and as I mentioned many times throughout Shas, that this Pasuk of Bema Tamei just means it's not valid right now, because it was kosher and then it developed a blemish. And must mean, rather, as the Chavraya had explained, it means a Tameya for Isa Hashem. Therefore, the Dik of Reb Zera falls off, and therefore the Gemara concludes with a question on that. How can you say it's talking about literally Tameya if that, as we mentioned many times throughout Shas, that Tameya is learned from a different pasuk, and this is talking about a Balmum that's being redeemed, and which seemed like not like Hazair had explained. Now, the Gemara continues with the final mission of this parak, which again continues on these themes about the Lishkas, about the different chambers in regards to all the monies of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah tells us that achas olam midyoyim, once every 30 days, misharin es halishka, they would establish the chamber. And what that means is that they would establish the value of the wines and the oils, all the different products that they needed. They would assess the value of the price market value for 30 days. and that is the Gizbarim, those who were in charge to purchase what they needed for those 30 days, if the price would go up, they wouldn't add any more money for how much they had assessed, how much they're going to pay. And if the money went down, that is the value of the product went down. Now it's cheaper, then they would pay the cheaper price. And that is as the Mishnah explains, Kol HaMakabel Olav L'Sapek Siltos Mi'arba, whoever had accepted, whichever merchant had accepted upon himself to give and provide for the Beis HaMikdash, the flour for a sella, and then Amdu Mishalish, then it came out that it was only going to be, the price went up, and now you can only get 3 saw for a sella. Yisapik Midal, he slashed to provide by the cheaper prior price, and then we explained that it's for the entire 30 days, that and here is any time that they make up. If he makes up a certain price, if the price goes up, he still has to provide by 4 for a sella. Mishalish, if it had been 3 for a sella, the amdu midalad, and then the price went down, and now you can get 4 for a sella, he's subbing midalad, he has to then provide at the lower price of 4. And the reason is, shayad hektish alal gaina. The hand of hektish is always the one that wins out. And that is, the way it would work would be in the times of when they would be reaping and gathering the grain. So then they would take the money from the Gizbar, and those who were in charge of the money of Hektish, and they would accept upon themselves to provide the flour and the oil for the entire year. Now, if at that time it was being sold for 4 saw of the grain for a sella, and then the price went up, and then it was only going to be that you could buy 3 saw for a sella, so then they still had to give 4, because the reason here is Hektish actually acquires with money, as the Pasuk says, "Benasna kesa bekamla," as we find by transactions with Hektish, you give your money, and then it becomes yours, and therefore we find that the monetary value that they had given, that transaction, was actually the actual transaction, therefore it was then when they already grandfathered in by the cheaper price. But the same thing goes if the price goes down, then they give by the cheaper price, and the reason for this is because they're not worse than a hedyot, meaning a regular commoner, that the transactions do not work with the kinyan of kesef. It only works with meshicha when you actually take the merchandise, since that wasn't done yet. So therefore they have both milus, that of hektish, which is when it's the cheaper price originally with the money, or the cheap price later when the actual meshicha happens. Now, based on this, im hetliya soilus, if the flour gets wormy, hetliya loy, it gets wormy for the merchant, and that is even if the gizber had already taken and given the money, the responsibility is still on the storekeeper. So to vim hechmetz yain, if the wine turns sour, hechmetz loy, it's bad for the provider, and he has to take the loss. And the explanation is ein mekabel ma'asav. He doesn't get his money. What that means is that even though he got the money ready, it's not considered the money of the merchant, and he doesn't really acquire them until atshehei hamizbech miratza, until the mizbech, the altar, has already provided a ritzu. That means it has accomplished its job. Now, therefore, that's the explanation for if the flour gets wormy or the wine spoils, that responsibility is on the storekeeper, and until it's done, he's not really going to have the acquisition of the money, and he'll have to return it. However, the Gemara does tell us that Tani B'Shem Reb Shimon, that he argued, he said, Miyad Hoy Mekabnas Masein, the storekeepers would get the monies right away. In other words, it would be considered theirs, because V'Hakahanim Zizneh, the Kahanim are very careful. We're not concerned that it's going to become puzzled, that it's going to get wormy, or that the wine's going to get spoiled, since they're so zaruz, they're very diligent, the Kahanim, and therefore he can get his money right away, and we're not concerned anything's going to happen. Hanulach Perek HaTruma, we shall return to you, Perek HaTruma, the 4th Perek in Masechet Shkalim, and we begin the 5th Perek in Masechet Shkalim, as the Mishnah begins, and this talks about also the different lishkais in the Beis HaMikdash, the different chambers, and those who were in charge of these different departments. So the Mishnah begins, Eilu hein hamamunim shohayi b'mikdash. These are the individuals that were in charge, the administrators in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Vilna Gaon says that they were all called by the name of the first ones, just like we find by kings, that they were all called paroi, and they were all called Avimelech in the different countries, and called Malki Tzedek. Here also that although these people, they were obviously throughout the years in Darius, there would be different people, they all kept the names of the first ones, and these are those names of the different departments. Yechonah ben Pinchas al Hechasamas, he was in charge of the seals, which were like some type of tokens that they would give out to know when you would pay what type of product you're supposed to get from the Beis HaMikdash, what type of animal, what type of different things that you have to bring for your carbon. So you got a ticket, and you would bring that ticket and you would get the animal that you had paid for. Achi al Nesachim, Achi was in charge of the Nesachim, that of the libations. Mashi ben Shmuel al Payasas, he was in charge of the lots, and that is to make the organization of the different geirolis, the lots, who merits which avodah and who gets the other ones, because they would use geirolis lots for which kahanim would merit and to do which avodah. Pesachi ala kinim. Pesachi was in charge of the kinim, which are the pairs of birds that the zav and the zava and the yoledis, a woman that just gave birth, that they bring these kinim chayva, these obligatory kinim, these types of bird offerings. That the way it would work is that they would put their money into these boxes in the Beis Hamikdash that were called these shayfaras because of the way they were shaped. Now the ones that were in charge of these boxes to take the monies and to bring from them these kinim, these pairs of birds, it had to be someone that was very smart and very, very proficient in these halachas, as the Mishnah Novice tells us that kinim, these halachas of the pair of bird offerings and the pischa nida, the opening of nida, these are the gufe halachas. These are the core hasugis in shas, and therefore you had to have someone that was very smart, and that was Pesachi. As the Mishnah explains, Pesachi is at Mordechai. Pesachi was Mordechai. V'lamen ekrishmei Pesachi. Now, why was he called Pesachi, even though his name was really Mordechai? Shei Pesach devarim v'darshin, because he would open up the different things and he would expound upon them. So he would open up things that were hidden and concealed and people wouldn't understand. He would open it up. And v'yidei b'shem lashon, he also knew the 70 different languages. And that the Mishnah is telling us. First it says that it was very smart. Pesach b'advarim, and he would be darish them. And that's why it's called Pesach, because you had to have someone who was very smart for the kinin. But it also tells us that the reason why they appointed him was because the women would come and bring their kinim, and everyone would come from all the different lands, and they had all different languages that they spoke, and some didn't even say the proper language. They had distorted their language, and he understood all the 70 languages, and therefore he understood all the different distortions of those languages. As the Gemara explains, that there was one woman that came and said, I'm bringing the carbon from my lizivasi, which would sound like I'm coming to bring it from my ziva, from my tumas zava, and he explained that no, she meant to say that a ze'ev came to take her son, a wolf, and therefore that was what Zivasi actually meant. So that's why they appointed him, so he knew what everyone was coming when they were bringing their kin. Benechia al-choyle ma'ayim. He was in charge of those who had intestinal, gastrointestinal problems in their stomach. As I'll explain, what does that actually mean? Nechunya chayfer sheikh. Nechunya was the one who would dig the pits, that there should be water for those who were oil regal, that they were coming up three times a year to the Beis HaMikdash and on by the Yom Tivim. So he was the one that dug the pits. Givini Karas, he was the crier. He was the one that made the announcements. Ben Gever on the Ilash Arm, he was in charge of the closing of the gates. Ben Bevai, Memuna ala Piki, he was in charge of the wicks. Ben Arza ala Tzilzil, he was in charge of the cymbals. And that was when he would make the noise and the cymbals, then the Levim would start singing the Shir Shal Yaim, the song when the Karbanas were being brought. Hugras ben Levi, and that is, he was from Shevet Levi, al Asher, he was in charge of the song, and that is, when he started singing, everyone would start, and when he stopped, everyone would stop. Beis Garmu, the household of Garmu, al Maisa Lechem upon them, they were in charge of the production of the Lechem upon them, the showbreads that were on the Shulchan. Beis Avtinas, al Maisa HaKateris, they were in charge of the production of the Kateris, of the incense. Velazar al Pareches, he was in charge of the curtain, and Opinchas, and Pinchas was Hamalbish, he was the dresser, and the Gemara will explain these different appointments. And these are the 15 different memunim that were there in the Beis HaMikdash. So now the Gemara explains. Reb Chizkiya and Reb Simon v'Rabbanan. There are these two opinions regarding these 15 different individuals and families that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Chadama one says, Kesheri dor v'dor bo limnes. Who are these 15 categories, these people, these families that the Mishnah is coming to explain? We're coming to talk about the upstanding one throughout the generations. That is, he only said those that stood out in that they were the very upstanding individuals. And that's why they said those. Now, although there were many other people that were in charge of these different categories and administrations in different generations, they only said those that were the best of them. As the Pasuk says, Re'isi b'nei aliyah v'hem o'atim, that I saw those who are b'nei aliyah, these are people that are great and they're very few, so therefore they mentioned those. But Charanam, the other opinion said that no, Misha Hayy Ba'isidar, that those who were in that generation, Manamasha Badari, he mentioned those in his generation, not because they were the upstanding ones of every generation. Rather, the one who is counting in our Mishnah, that Tana, he just mentioned those that were in his generation, and that's who he mentioned. Now, based on this, the Gemara says, that Manda Amar Kesheri called Davidar Balim. That's according to the opinion that says that our Mishnah is talking about the most upstanding of all these different departments that we mentioned throughout the generations. So the Gersa has changed to Alein Hu Oimis. So regarding them, it said, now what is this a reference to? This is a reference to a mission in the third Perek of Masechtas Yuma that says, Beis Garmu didn't want to teach anybody else how they made the lechem upon them. And Beis Aftinis didn't want to teach anyone else how they made the guitars. And it says, Hugus ben Levi, he didn't want to teach anyone else how he would make the different sounds and songs that only he knew. And ben Kamtzer, he didn't want to teach anyone how to do the Maisak Sav, how to do the writing. Now, on that, the Mishnah Yumit says, Al Harishayinim, on the first ones that we mentioned, regarding them, it says, Zichr Tzadik Levracha, that you should remember Tzadik for blessing, that is, they were upstanding individuals. And then the Mishnah says, V'alachrayim ho'am, regarding the later ones, it says, Shem Rishom Yirkav, that the names of the wicked, that it should be blotted out. Now, that is what our Gemara is saying, that according to the one that says that our Mishnah is counting the upstanding ones, so obviously you have to say that even Beis Garmu and Beis Aftinas were upstanding families, because our Tan is mentioning them. Therefore, must be that when it says in the Mishnah in Yuma over there, that Shem Rishom Yirkav is going on the later ones, it must be going only on the last one of Ben Kamtzer, because the ones before him of Beis Aftinas and Beis Garmu are upstanding, because our Mishnah who mentions them is talking about upstanding individuals. So that's what it says, that regarding them it says, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, must be that they were included in the Rishayim, in the first parts of the list in the Mishnah in Yuma, that it says when you remember a Tzadik, it should be for a blessing. Whereas Umanda Mamisha Yiboy Sedar, but according to the other opinion that we just mentioned, that our Mishnah is not saying necessarily those that are kosher, rather it's just mentioning those from that generation. Mana Mashabadar, he only counted those in this generation. So Al Kula Noemer. So regarding all of them, in other words, even regarding Beis Garmu and regarding Beis Aftinas, they were included in Bishem Rishom Yirkav that the names of the wicked should be blotted out. Valmi Nemat Zechat Tzadik Baruch. And therefore then who is, when the Mishnah Yuma says that, but from the first ones, when you remember Tzadik should be for blessing, that's Al Ben Katan V'Chaver, that's regarding Ben Katan and his colleagues, and we continue on to Amud Beis, and that is because they were the ones that were mentioned in the beginning of that Mishnah, but regarding those who mentioned in the middle, Beis Aftinas and Beis Garmu, that's where it depends regarding what our Mishnah, if they're saying that they're Kshem, then they're from the Zechat Tzadik Levracha, and if they're not necessarily Kshem, then from the later ones of Rishem Rishom Yirkav, as Gemara will later on explain that they were considered Rishon because they didn't want to share how to make the lechem upon them and the keteres. So Amar Bioni says, and now, because we're speaking about those that should be remembered for the praises, so we mention over here the maila of other chachamim regarding the praise that they deserve for the good things they have done. So it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, L'chein achalik liberam, therefore I will apportion to him amongst the masses, v'esatsumim michalik shal, and that with the mighty ones, he'll split the spoils. So who's that a reference to? Zeh Rebbe Akiva, that's a reference to Rebbe Akiva. Shehiskin, and the Gersa adds over here, Mishnah and above, Shehiskin Mishnah u'Midrash, that he instituted, he organized the Mishnayis and the Midrashim, Ha'alochis v'agadis, and Ha'alochis, and the homiletic teachings. And that is, the explanation of the Pasuk is because Rebbe Akiva had many Talmidim, as the Gemara says in the beginning, Masechet Megillah, and all stimtoi, all anonymous Ha'alochis that are mentioned go according to Rebbe Akiva. And the Gemara says that the world was desolate until Rebbe Akiva came to Rebbe Seinu in the Darim, and he established many Talmidim. Now, that's what the Pasuk means when it says, Achalik Lei Barabim, that he has a Chalik forever that come because of him and his students, that's because of the Rabim that he created. Now, based on this, the end of the Pasuk, which says, Ves Atzum, that with the mighty ones, they'll split the spoils, that's a reference to those who got killed by Lud. They're called Harugi Lud, that they gave themselves over. They were Moisin Nefesh for Kiddush Hashem. It means that with those mighty ones, Rebbe Akiva will be Yechalik Shal, who will split the spoils of the enemies, because that's what the Pasuk there says, that Tachas HaShehera Lomos Nafshi, that because he awakened to give over his life, he was Moisin Nefesh for death, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachas, that every day Rebbe Akiva was in pain, that when will I be Mekayim, what it says in the Parshas B'Yahavta, B'chol Nafshecha, that he's going to give up his soul. That's what it says there in the Pasuk, that Hera Lomas Nafshai, his soul, and that's why it also uses the term Vehera, that she was Ma'ir on himself, that he organized Kehillas and he wanted to give up his soul, he wanted to be Maisa Nefesh. That's what the end of the Pasuk means, that he was together with Tatsumim, those who are Maisa Nefesh, the Harugi Lord, he's included in that too, because he was also Maisa Nefesh in regards when the Romans had killed him. However, Yashem, some say that Elu know that the Mishnayis and the Midrashis and Halachas and Agadas, Anshe Knesset HaGedolah Tikna, wasn't Rebbe Akiva that instituted, rather it was the men of the great assembly, that we already had the Mishnayis and Midrashis from them, and therefore Elamat Tikin Zeh. So rather, what was it that Rebbe Akiva was Mesakin, that it's achalik loy barabim, that he's remembered for good. Those are klolos upratis. They're the general statements and the specifics. And that is klolam mean like klal amr b'kiva. That famous one is ze klal gadol b'tayra ve'haftal reich kameicha. You should love your friend as yourself. That's the klolam that Rebbe Kiva gave us. And then he even gave us the specifics. And that is, as the Gemara says elsewhere, that he would expound upon all the different crowns that were on every letter in the Sefer Torah, tili, tilim, shalachas. These are different mounds and mounds of halachas. So these are the klolam, which are all the stam halachas that we have, that's from Kiva, and the pratim, so the specifics, and they didn't leave anything. Those are from Rebbe Kiva. Now, the Gemara continues related to this. Amr Bavo, Ksivah says a pasuk in Divrei Yomim Aleph, Mishpachos Sofrim, the family of scribes, Yesh v'Yavetz, the dwellers of Yavetz. Now, Matam Alam is Sofrim, what does the pasuk come to teach us that they were scribes? And the reason is because the pasuk had already said explicitly who was this family. And therefore, this whole entire pasuk is coming for drasha purposes. So what are they coming to tell us, that they were a family of scribes? It means to say that they made the Torah into different lists, that there were countings. And that is, and the reason why they made it lists is that a person could always have it to remember and to know what to do, that they have lists, it's very easy to remember and to know. And that's similar to, as we find throughout Shas, many times in the beginning of Masechta, and it says numbers, lists. And that's how we remember the Torah. Chamisha lo yitroim truma. There are five individuals that should not take off truma. That's in the beginning of Masechta's Trumas. It says, Hey dvar m'chayev m'chala. There are five things that are obligated in chala. That's the beginning of the first part of Masechta's chala. It says, Chamesh esrei nashim petrus tzarasein. There are 15 women that exempt their co-wives from the lachas of yibim chalitza. That's the beginning of Masechta's Yivamas. There are shleishim v'sheish krisis b'tara. There are 36 krisis in the Torah. That's the beginning of Masechta's krisis. Shalosh esrei davar nemer b'niflas ha'if ha'tara. There are 13 things that are said regarding the carcass of a dead kosher bird, which that's the beginning of Masechta's Tyrus. That's also another list. Dalet aves nezikin. There are four main categories of items that cause damage. That's the beginning of Masechta's Baba Kama. Aves malachas arbaam chasar achas. There are 39 main categories of malachas. That is the in Masechta's Shabbos and Paraklal Gadol. So these types of ideas, why they were called seifrim, because they would count. They would make these lists. And that would be a way for people to be able to be Zachar and Shammah. They would be able to remember and to keep the halachas. And that's why they're called Seifrim. Similar, another person that was called the Seifrim, Amar Reb, and the Girsa is here, Acha, not Eliezer. Amar Reb, Acha, Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk in Ezra, Le'ezra HaKoyin, HaSeifer, he was described. Now, Matam Elohim is Seifer. What does the Pasuk come to teach us that he was a scribe? And that is, although we know he was called Ezra HaSeifer, and the Pasuk wants us to know that, but earlier in the Pasuk, it already says HaSeifer. Why does it say again that he was described? So rather, it's coming to tell us that there was two ciphers that he was. In the sense, Elikashem Shah Yisayfer B'Divrei Torah, just like he counted, or that he was a scribe, by the words of the Torah, Kacha Yisayfer B'Divrei Chacham Soti, he was a cipher by the words of the sages. And that is, when the end of the Pasuk says, Divrei Mitzvah Hashem, that it was a cipher regarding the words of the commandment of Hashem, that's a reference to Torah Shebiksav. And that's what it says, that he was a cipher Moher B'Torah Hashem. When it says v'chukav al Yisrael and the commandments on the Jewish people, that's a reference to Torah Shabbat Peh. And those are the two Torahs that he was a Sefer. He was a Sefer in Torah Shabbat Ksav and Torah Shabbat Peh. Reb Chagai B'Shem Reb Shmuel Bar Nachman. And that is the reason, once we mentioned the Maila of the earlier generations, the earlier Tzadikim, so now the Gemara mentions the differences between them and us. So he says, Harishainim, the earlier Tzadikim that we mentioned, Reb Kiva and Ezra Sefer, Charshu, Bizaru, they plowed, they planted. Nichshu, they weeded. Kishu, they trimmed. Adru, they hoed. Katsu, they reaped. Imru, they gathered. Dashu, they threshed. Zaru, they winnowed. Baru, they selected. Tachanu, they grinded. Herkidu, they sifted. Lashu, they kneaded. Kitvu, they formed. Vafu, and they baked. And essentially, what we just counted were the 15 different malachas that apply to bread. And the metaphor for this is it's really talking about a reference to Torah. And the reason is because Torah is called bread, as the Pasuk says, L'chu lachma balachmi, which is a reference to Torah. So although they did all the work for Torah, and yet, v'anu ein lanu malacha, and we still don't have what to eat. And that is, even though they did all the work to make it easier for us, it's still hard for us to really understand the words of Torah with clarity. Similar, the Gemara says, Reb Abba Bar Zmina b'shem Reb Zeira says, in Havoin Kadmoin Malachim, if the earlier ones were like angels, and that is because a person, as well known, as the Smag says in the Zakdama, is in the part of when he talks about the Mitzvah's essay, he says a person is half like a malach because of his neshama, and he's half like an animal because of his body. And the earlier ones overpowered their spirit of their malach, part of them, which is their neshama, to do the will of their creator. So if they were like malachim, sanan b'nei anish, so we're like humans, v'in havoin b'nei anish, and if they were considered like humans, then anan chamar, and then we're like donkeys. And that's the big differences that are between the earlier generations and the later generations. But the Gemara says even more than this. Amar Reb Manna says, Bahi Shaita, at that moment, which is a reference to a certain story, which he had eaten by mistake, Tevel, which is Aser. So Amrin, he said, Afilik chamarted repiches ben yerla adminu. We're not even like the donkeys of the earlier tzaddikim, which in specific of repiches ben yar. And that is because, as the Gemara says, that chamarted repiches ben yar, we find by the donkey repiches ben yar that even their donkeys didn't eat something Aser. And here I am, I ate Tevel. And that is, we find that genavte listoi belelya, that thieves stole her in the middle of the night, the donkey. Avdis tamira gabon tlasin yemes. So they went and they hid her and they concealed her. They were holding on to her for already 3 days. V'loy tamaklum, and the donkey refused to eat anything. So basa tlasa yamen, after 3 days, imalchen, machzarta, they decided, you know, let's return the animal. Amri, they said, afkinim nachal, let's get it out of here. V'loy tamis gabon, it shouldn't die here and it's going to smell, it's going to be a dead carcass, let's get it out. Safkuna, they sent it out. Azlas v'kamas la altar demar. So she went, the donkey, and she went and stood in front of the gate of her master. In other words, in front of the house of her Repiches ben Yar. Sharyas min hakas. So she started to bray, to make noise. Amalan. So Repiches ben Yar said to his servants, said pischen la hadaluf, to open up for this abandoned one, for this donkey. The isla tlasyem and loytamaklum, that for 3 days it didn't need anything. To paschen la valaslas. So they opened up the gate for her and she came in. Amrulan, so he said to them, Yahavullah klum techel, give her something to eat. So Yahavin kuma siren, so they gave her barley, and she refused to eat. So Amrin lay, so they said to him, Rebbe, our master, loy boys lamecha, she doesn't want to eat. So Amrulan, so he said to them, Misaknanina, did you fix it? Did you sift it? Did you take out all the psilas, all the different rocks and stuff that are inside? So Amrulay in, they said, yes. So Amrulan, so he said to them, Varimtin demayan, did you take off demay? Did you take off the maestris? So Amr Lev, they said to him, but Loikein Alfin Rabbi, didn't you our master teach us, which in Mishnah Masechtas Demai, that Halikeach, and the Girsa here adds a Laman, Halikeach Lazera, if someone purchases Demai, which are produce that we bought from Am Oretz, which the Rabbanan have instituted Halacha of Demai, of taking off, because Demai, we don't know if they took off Maises or not, therefore Mitzah HaSafim, because of doubt, we have to take off. But if you're purchasing to plant, or Lebehema, to give to your animal, or kemach la'iris, or you're taking flour just to work the hides, or shem la'ir, or oil for lighting, patim in demai, that then you're exempt from demai. And that is because since most amaratzim really do take off meiser, the chacham only geyser if a person is going to be eating it, not on these cases where he's not eating himself, that you're exempt, so why would we have to take off demai when we're going to feed it to your animal? So Amalon, he said to them, you're right, but manavid lo lahad alufta, what are we going to do about this abandoned donkey? Dihi machamra al garma sagin. She's stringent very much on herself that you have to take off demai before she's going to eat. Varim demayin vachalas. And they took off demai, and she went and she ate. So that's what he was saying. He says, look, we're even worse than the donkeys of the previous generations, because here I went, and I stumbled on this Isra of Tevel, and yet the donkey of Repiches ben Yar refused to eat unless demai was taken off before him. So then the Gemara continues, it said in the Mishnah, Pesachi alakina. Pesachi was in charge of the pair of birds that, as we had mentioned before, Boyre, come and see, Magodl hu koichish lo'isa ish. How great was the power of that individual, Pesachi, as his name alludes to it, that Pesach devar medarshan, that he would open up hidden things and expound upon it. And that is, since he wasn't, and that's the reason, and that's part of the idea that he was in charge of the Kenan, which, as we said, these are gufei teru, these are the hard sugis of shas, of the halacha, of the pair of birds. Now, the reason is, and that's why he was in charge, because he was pesachia, he would be able to open up hidden and closed things, and he was able to expound upon them. So the Mishnah tells that Yedei ba'ayin lashon, he knew all the 70 languages. So related to this, the Gemara says that Tani, we learned, Sanhedrin sheyesh b'shnayim shechoyin ledaber. If the Sanhedrin has at least two people on the Bezdin that know how to talk in all the 70 languages, but and Bekulin Ruin Lishmaya, However, in the rest of the Sanhedrin, they know how to hear. In other words, they could understand all the 70 languages, even though they don't know how to respond and talk in them. Harizah Rula Sanhedrin, they're already fit to be a Sanhedrin. Gimel, if there are three people on the Bezin that know how to talk, Harizah Beinus, that's already a mediocre, that's a medium type of Bezin. Dalit, if there are already four people on the Sanhedrin that could talk all 70 languages, Harizah Chachama, that's a very wise and smart Sanhedrin. Ubiyavna Hoyibadalit, and in Yavna, there actually were four. Ben Azai, Uben Zayma, Uben Chachinoi, Verbalaza Ben Masya. Now, the Gemara continues regarding the wisdom, the Chachma of Psachia, says, Amr Chizda. And it also refers to this idea that he was able to pesach, he was able to open up hidden things that no one knew what he was talking about. So Rav Chizda says, "Pam achas yevesh eretz Yisrael." One time, the entire land of Israel was dry; they had no produce, no grain. They didn't know where to bring the oimer, which has to be coming from Eretz Yisrael with the fresh produce, with the new crop, and there was nothing to be found. And there was one individual that was a deaf mute; he couldn't hear, and he couldn't talk. To have a yohiv chad yode al gag, is one hand on the roof, for chad yode al tzrifim, one hand on a hut, which is like a sukkah that has no roof and it's pointy on the top. I seen the kamei de pesach, so they brought him in front of the pesach. They didn't know what he meant to say. Amar lahu, so he said to them, "Is aser de miskar yagagis tzrifim or tzrifim gagis? Is there a place that's called gagis? Because he was putting one hand on the roof and one hand on tzrifim. So is there a place that's called gagis tzrifim or tzrifim gagin? Because he first put his hand on the roof, so he first said the word Gagas Trifin or Trifin Gagas. So Azan Taman Vishkach Vashkach, and they went to that place, and they found, because there was such a place by that name, and he figured it out that he's putting one hand over there, one hand over there, to give that hint. Similarly, Amr Yese Beirabon says, Pam Achas Nishtav Kol Olam Kule. One time, the entire world was wind blasted, that there was this wind that destroyed all the crops. They didn't know where to bring the carbon imer from, which is brought on the second day of Pesach from the first barley. There was one deaf mute. He put one hand on his eye, one hand on the door socket. Again, they brought him to Pesach. So Amaloyin, he said to them, "Is aser de miskarya ein seicher oy seicher ein," which is a reference of the eye and seicher to the door socket. And they went and they found over there in that place that there was actually barley to be brought for the carbon imer. Again, a similar type of incident. Gimel Nashim Heviu Kinayan. There was a time when three women brought their kinim, their pair of bird offerings. Achas Aimeris Lainasi, the Achas Aimeris Liamasi, the Achas Aimeris Lizivasi. So now the Gemara explains. Zusha Aimeris Lainasi. Sovereign Mamer, so the different Tamina Chacham, the Kahan, they were there, they thought Shefaz Kemayin, that she was flowing like a spring. And basically what she was saying is that she had her blood, which was coming out of the Makar, she has to bring two Kenan, one for a Chatas and one for an Oila, like the Halachas of a Zava. That's what she meant to say, La'ayinasi, like a Mayan, like a spring. So Maloni said to them, no. Ba'ayina Sachnas, that I was in danger by my eye. And that's what Ainasi means, my eye. And he was able to understand, he understood the distortions, he understood the languages, that she didn't mean like a Mayan, like a spring, but rather my eye, that it was in danger, nothing to do with the halachas of Zava. And she was coming to, because she made an oath, she's bringing a carbon oila to say thanks to Hashem that she was saved from that. Susha means Liamasi, the one that said that's for Yamasi, for my Yam, sovereign Mema, they thought to say Shefas Kiyam, that she was flowing, again with the halachas of Zava. She has flowing blood like the sea. Amalayin said to them, no. Biyama sachnas. She was in danger in the sea of drowning, and she was saved. And therefore she's bringing a nether as a carbon oila. And that is not like they thought. They would have thought that one has to be chatas, one has to be oila. He was saying, no, they're oilas. Nothing to do with chatas and oila. It's not coming for zava. And Zusha mes lezivasi. This that one said, I'm bringing it for my ziva. So sovereign maimer, zava mamash. This time they thought for sure she'd bring it for hazava, which again, the same halachas, one for a chatas, one for a naila. I'm like, no. Ze'ev bo litl es bena. A wolf came to take her son, and he was saved. And therefore, she was making a neder of one ken for the saving of her son and bringing it. And the idea is that we're saying, since he was such a great chacham and he knew all the different languages, the ins and outs, he understood that where someone else would have been nikshal and thought that it's coming for her ziva, which would have been for chatas and oila, and he understood that it was coming for a ze'ev, a wolf, and nothing to do with the halachas of zava. Mishnah continues that it said, Ben Achaya, he was in charge of those who had chayla ma'ayim. Those are the kohen who had intestinal sicknesses, and therefore he would take from the Trumas HaLishka, because these were the needs of the carbon, which are the kohanim, that they had to do the avoda, and they had to take care of their problems with their stomachs. So the Gemara explains, what does it mean? Why did the kohanim have so many intestinal problems that they had to have someone in charge of that? So it says, because the kohanim would walk barefoot on the floor in the Beis HaMikdash, and the reason was because it couldn't be a chatzitza between their foot and the floor, and they would eat meat, they ate a lot of kachin, but they drank water because they couldn't drink wine in the Azar, in the courtyard. So all these different variables produced that they would have intestinal problems. And then Ben Achaya, who was in charge, he knew Haydin Chamer Tavlamai. He knew which is good wine for the stomach, the Haydin Chamer Samalamai, which is bad wine for the stomach, which makes it too loose, and therefore what not to drink from. And therefore, he was in charge of that, of healing them from their intestinal problems. And he was that's what it means to say he was in charge of the Chayla Ma'ayim.